Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
You are a priest forever. That is one of the most important statements in the whole of the New Testament. The whole of your relationship with God depends upon that statement. You are a priest forever. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 7, you'll see why this is so important. We know that Jesus established a new covenant. Now, I've mentioned this briefly, but we need to really understand covenant this morning. People talk about being in a covenant relationship, but covenant isn't a relationship. We have a relationship because we're in covenant with God and God with us. But the relationship is not the covenant. Covenant is dependent upon an oath, a promise that God makes either to his people or to an individual. In the Old Testament, there are actually a number of different covenants, most of them to Israel as a nation, but one to David, for example. God had a particular covenant with David. And a covenant is based upon an oath that God makes, a statement that he makes, promising, taking this oath in his own name. In other words, staking the whole of his reputation upon that oath or that promise. And the scripture points out to us that God, because everything he says is true, never needs to take an oath that what he's saying is true. You remember in a court of law, people are asked to take an oath, usually holding the Bible or whatever, before they give their testimony. They are swearing to tell the truth. So God makes an oath. He swears that he will stand by what he says. Now, he always does that. He doesn't need to take an oath, but he's chosen to do so because that particular statement is of such crucial, vital importance. And covenants were sealed with blood because blood signifies life. And so it's as if God is saying, I take this oath and you can bet your life on it. Because I am actually, as far as the New Testament is concerned, shedding the blood of my son to actually verify that this is my oath, my solemn promise. And we would have no relationship with God today as part of the new covenant if he had not made this solemn statement, you are a priest forever. Replacing all the former priesthood and all the former concept of sacrifice and how to please God and enter into relationship with him. So we'll pick it up from verse 18. The former regulation of all the former sacrifices and religious system, the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. Now that's the first thing we need to understand, that if it was not for this statement, we could not draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath. But he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Hallelujah. Now we need to see what this means. "Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but Jesus lives forever. He has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son." So it's this oath that appoints Jesus to be what he is to us. "For the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever." The point of what we're saying is this: we do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. Now, in those few verses that I've just read, there are four key statements. And why this is so important for us is because a little later on in chapter 10, verse 19, these verses are very well known. We often use them, but without really seeing why they are so significant. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." Now, we know that God wants us to draw near right into the Holy of Holies, to come right before his throne, where we'll find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. But our ability to do that depends upon the priesthood of Jesus. Now, what is a priest? A priest is one who offers sacrifice. So the priests in the temple under the old dispensation, they were the ones who were sacrificing the various animals, the whole series of sacrifices that were there established. And we read all about those in the early books of the Old Testament. So this reference to Jesus as the priest is one who offers a sacrifice. Now, of course, the unique thing about Jesus is that he not only offered the sacrifice, but he was himself the sacrifice. So he is both the priest who offers the sacrifice, and he is the sacrifice itself. But the emphasis that is being put here, and there's several chapters of this in Hebrews, it's a very, very rich book. It helps us to understand this priesthood of Jesus. Now, if we go back to chapter 7, what are these four key outcomes, if you like, or results of God saying, you are a priest forever? Well, the first of these is found in verse 25. Therefore, because this has been said of him, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Now, what does that mean for you? It means he has saved you completely. He hasn't saved you partially. He's saved you completely. So he's saved you from everything that is negative. He's not only through his sacrifice that he's offered as a priest, forgiven your sins through the shedding of his blood, but he has saved you from sin. Sin is no longer your master. Jesus Christ is now your master, because he saved you not only from the guilt of your sins, but he has saved you from the power of sin. He has saved you from every power of the evil one, which is why when we belong to the new covenant, he gives us authority over all the powers of the evil one. But he can only give us those powers over the evil one because he has saved us from all the powers of the evil one. Because we are saved from those powers, we now have authority over those powers. So it's not that we're battling with Satan or battling with the powers of darkness. We exercise our authority over them because we've been saved from them. Are we getting this? He's saved us from a life without meaning or purpose. I think one of the saddest things is that there will be many people who will come before the Lord on the day of judgment to give account as to how they have fulfilled his purpose, and they never even discovered what his purpose was. I believe that will be true of many Christians, of many who worship in churches, still have not understood the purpose of God for their lives, nor fulfilled that purpose. But he's actually saved us from a useless, purposeless life. He's saved us from everything that is negative, everything that belongs to the dominion of darkness. He's saved us from everything that could oppose the work of Christ in us and the work of his Spirit. So he has saved us from sickness. He saved us from oppression. He saved us from everything that could foul up our lives. He has saved us completely. Now, because he has done that, there is nothing left for him to do. He has done it all. But he hasn't only saved us from, he's saved us for. He saved us from sin so that we could be saved for him. He saved us from a purposeless life so we can be saved for his purposes to be fulfilled in our lives. So the only thing that matters for you as a Christian is that in the rest of your life, you fulfill the plan and purpose that God has for you. Never mind what you've done in the past or what failures there have been in the past. What matters now is that for the rest of your life, not just while you're here at Rophi where it's easy, but for the rest of your life, you will fulfill the plan and purpose of God, because that's what he's saved you for. He saved you from a Christless eternity to have an eternity with Christ, in Christ. He's saved you from all those negative things so that now you live in the power of his positive kingdom, because everything about his kingdom is positive. He saved you from unrighteousness to live a life of righteousness, remembering that Jesus himself is your righteousness. He saved you from unholiness for a life of holiness. So he has saved you completely. And for the rest of your Christian life, you will be living in the good of what he has already done. It isn't that he needs to save you from this and this and this and this, but he has saved you, so you live in the good of the salvation that he has already worked for you. Amen. So that's the first thing. He has saved you completely. So every day of your life, you need to thank the Lord that he has saved you completely. Thank you, Lord, you saved me completely. Thank you, today I can live in the complete salvation that you have given me. It's not partial, it's not temporary, it's complete and it's eternal. Right. Hallelujah. Okay, so therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because, and this is the second thing, because he always lives to intercede for them. So he has saved you completely, and he always lives to intercede for you. Now, that does not mean that Jesus is praying for you. It isn't that he is having a prayer meeting in heaven and he's talking to the Father. Think of how many millions of Christians there are. It doesn't mean that he is constantly praying prayers for you. Intercession is coming between. And what this means is that what he has done and accomplished through his sacrifice as the priest, through the offering of his blood, that blood always lives between any sin, failure, fear, doubt, inadequacy, and God himself. That blood intercedes for you all the time. So whenever you come to him, we say you come in his name, which means you come in the good of all that he has done. You come through that blood. So we are forgiven through that blood. We are saved through that blood. We are healed through that blood. We are set free through that blood. That sacrifice of his blood always intercedes for us. It's always there. It speaks for us. Speaks on our behalf. That's how the scripture really puts it. So we praise God that he's saved us completely, and he always, through that sacrifice, because he is the priest forever, forever means forever, all the time, that blood intercedes for us. Hallelujah would have been a good response for that one. Then, if we go down to chapter 8, we do have such a high priest, one who has offered this sacrifice, who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. So he has saved completely. His blood always intercedes for us. And the third important statement is he has now sat down. Now that is of crucial importance. Because if you are busy during the course of a day, you look forward to the time when you can just sit down and take a rest and have nothing to do. Jesus has now got nothing to do. The scripture says, all he is doing now is waiting until all his enemies are put under his feet, waiting for the time when the Father says, okay, son, now go again. But go in triumph, in glory, and in victory. Amen. Now, he has sat down because he has finished his work completely. That's why he could cry out on the cross, it is finished, it is done, it is accomplished. You see, it wouldn't be accomplished, it wouldn't be finished if there was something left for him to do. But what can you add to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? You see, if you think there's anything to add to that, you're saying it was incomplete. But it wasn't incomplete. Now, whenever we pray, we need to remember that. Because we're not asking Jesus to do things, we're taking hold of what he has done. We are taking hold of the revelation that we have in the scriptures, in the truth of what he has accomplished, and we're downloading it. We're demonstrating that we believe the oath that has been possible for us to be in a covenant relationship with him, whereby he will always be faithful to us and asks us always to be faithful to him. If you look in the Old Testament scriptures, you see how terrible it was in the eyes of God that the people did not keep covenant with God. I happened to be reading early this morning the Daniel's prayer. Just listen to this. O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. That's still the basis of covenant. He makes the oath, he's accomplished everything. Now, in the relationship that comes, that expresses that covenant, he remains faithful, but he expects us to remain faithful also. Now, David is praying this great prayer of repentance. He's been praying and fasting before he prays this. O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. This is true prayer of intercession. If you intercede, you stand in the place of those for whom you're interceding. So, you know, David was actually a shining light. He was one who was living in righteousness. He was standing apart from all this. But you see, he identifies with the nation because he's part of the nation. So he's not saying they, he's saying we have sinned. We as your people. Are you there? Okay, the Lord is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed. So he includes himself in that, you see. He's part of the corporate thing. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servants. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. That's real prayer. Heartfelt prayer. He's praying, fasting, clothed in sackcloth and ashes, which was the custom of the time, humbling himself before God on behalf of the nation. Not they, but we have. And that's the way to pray for your nation, whether it's this nation or another nation that you come from. But God has sat down, he has accomplished everything for us. Daniel, of course, was praying before the sacrifice on the cross. Nevertheless, you see the true nature of his heart and of his prayer that comes from that heart. But now we can say, well, Lord, you have poured out your mercy. You have demonstrated the fullness of your grace. You have done everything to enable your people now not to walk in disobedience and rebellion like people did of old, but now you have done everything to enable us to walk in righteousness and truth, in holiness, in faith, in faithfulness to you and to your ways, your will, your plans, your purposes. So we thank you that you have done completely everything, not only to deliver us from all the negatives, but to enable us to walk in your ways, to enable us to fulfill your will, to enable us to be your new covenant people, to enable us to be the bride that is preparing for your return, to enable us to be a people of faith working through love. So praise God. He has sat down because he's got nothing left to do. So when you pray, don't make it sound as if you think Jesus has got something left to do. I mean, how is it that Jesus can heal you? Because he has already done everything for your healing. How is it that he can forgive you? Because he has already done everything for his forgiveness. When you are forgiven by God, Jesus doesn't have to get up on the cross and die all over again, because he is a priest forever. And the sacrifice that he has offered, therefore, has power and efficacy forever. It will work forever. Hallelujah. Three people believe it. Praise God. Okay, so that's the third thing. He saves completely. He always intercedes. His blood always intercedes for us. He sits down, or has sat down, having accomplished everything. And now in verse 2, and who serves in the sanctuary. He serves. And just a little earlier from where we read in chapter 7, it says that he serves on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. You see, you would agree, wouldn't you, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Anybody agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if he was a servant yesterday, and he said he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, if he came to serve and was the greatest servant on earth and has the highest place in heaven because he was the greatest servant, then he is always a servant. And so he serves us now from heaven in the power of an eternal, indestructible life. Now, what does this mean? Well, he's sitting down, having accomplished everything, and he serves us. Just imagine you go to a restaurant, and you order your meal, and the waiter brings you the meal and places it on the table. He has served you, but the waiter did not produce the meal. The meal was produced in the kitchen. All he has done is taken the meal from the kitchen and delivered it to you. He has served you. Now, Jesus, if you like, has already done all the work in the kitchen. He's like the head chef that sits down, having accomplished everything to feed all of his people. And so, all that is necessary is for someone to come and take what he has prepared and serve them. Is this too deep for you? Right, okay. So, he serves us. He's not only sat down having accomplished, but now he serves us with all that he has accomplished. How does he do that? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you like, is the servant. It's like Jesus sitting down there saying to the Holy Spirit, go and serve my people with this word, with that healing, with this power, with that miracle. Are you there? This is why Jesus says the Holy Spirit never acts on his own. He never speaks any words of his own. He speaks only what he hears. He does only what he is sent to do. Just as Jesus was sent and has accomplished everything that he was required to accomplish, now the Holy Spirit is sent by God to deliver to us everything that he has accomplished. Isn't this wonderful? So there isn't anything left for him to do. It's not, well, Jesus, do something in order that we might be healed, or do something in order that we might be forgiven. It's all forgiven. It's just waiting for delivery. This is why Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. Why? Because God, because you are in Christ, God has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You see, there's all this
that thousands, tens of thousands, millions of blessings all in heavenly places, and he says they're all yours. He's already blessed you with all of them. All they need is delivery. And that's where the life of faith comes in. Faith takes hold of what he's done. Faith takes hold of that inheritance that you have in Christ Jesus and downloads it into your present situation. You're getting too excited again, aren't you? This is wonderful. This is amazing. And it's all because he is a priest forever. And he has offered the sacrifice that needs never to be repeated. The sacrifice that is total, the sacrifice that is complete, the sacrifice that covers every conceivable thing that could ever happen in your life. Jesus is the answer to whatever predicament you're in because of all that he has already accomplished. Hallelujah. So let's go on then to chapter 10. Therefore, in the light of all this, Well, just look for a moment into chapter 9. Chapter 10, we'll go back to verse 15. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." So this is different from the old covenant where the law of God was written on tablets of stone externally to the people. Now, under this new covenant, because of all that he has accomplished, because now we live in him and he lives in us, he writes his law on our hearts and on our minds. So now the law is internal, it's not external. The law of God is within you. Not to be lived out in a legalistic way, but to be lived out of love, which is why Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." Amen. Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." Now, verse 19. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus." Why by the blood of Jesus? Because it's the blood that intercedes for us. So we can come right before the throne of God. We can come right into the Holy of Holies because that blood always intercedes for us. It gives us the confidence to know we can come right before the throne of God. So whenever we pray, whenever we worship, we're before the throne of God. When you worship here every morning, you shouldn't think of yourself standing in a building in Rafi, but you're actually in heaven standing before the heavenly throne because God has seated you in heavenly places. That's where you belong. That's the place from which you pray. So you're not sort of down here on earth praying to heaven to download something. You're actually in heaven downloading, taking hold of that which is yours by right because of what Jesus has done for you, because he is a priest forever. Are we getting this? "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith." Now, what makes that possible is having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. You see, because of all that he has accomplished for us, you have no guilt. Now, you can remember your former sins, and Satan loves to remind you of them and to try to accuse you to make you feel guilty of what you once did. But actually, because you're forgiven, there is now no guilt attached to any of those things that have been forgiven. Your conscience has been sprinkled with the blood. Now, the sprinkling of the blood is what was done in Scripture to sanctify, to make holy. God has sprinkled you with the blood of Jesus. He has made you his holy child. So now you are free from guilt. You can remember your sin, but you don't have a guilty conscience about it anymore. And so when Satan reminds you of your former sins or failures, you just tell him to get lost, because he is guilty and will be eternally guilty and will never be forgiven. Amen? Which is why he will be condemned to the abyss for all eternity. Good riddance. But you no longer have guilt. So even if you do something, you mess up in some way, as soon as you are forgiven by the Lord, you are free from guilt. Yes? You can remember what you did, but you're no longer guilty about it. You might say, oh, Lord, how stupid I was to mess up like that. But he just reminds you, well, you're forgiven. There's no guilt now. Just look forward. Don't look back. Forget what lies behind and reach out for that which lies ahead. This is the amazing thing about the forgiveness of God, isn't it? And, of course, that reminds us that that's how we're supposed to forgive others. In exactly the same way. And you see, who are you? Supposing one of your friends really messed up big time in some way, but they, you know, ask God for forgiveness. That means they're not guilty anymore, yes? Which means you don't relate to them as if they are guilty. You relate to them as if that thing never happened. That's the nature of forgiveness. You know, sometimes you hear people say, I will forgive, but I won't forget. Well, that's not forgiveness, because forgiveness does forget. Right. Hallelujah. In other words, you don't treat people because, you know, in such a way, say, well, I'm going to be careful now with that person. No, no, they're forgiven. They're free from guilt, just as you are forgiven and free from guilt. Because of the mercy of God, because of the blood of Jesus. This is called salvation. Is that all right? So, your heart has been sprinkled to cleanse you from a guilty conscience. Hallelujah. Some of you are being faced with the question, what is conscience? Well, here's... And having our bodies washed with pure water. Even your body is washed with the pure water, with the new life, the living water of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. But you see, it's because of all this that he has accomplished that we can come before him into the most holy place, into the Holy of Holies, with confidence. We can draw near to God with sincere hearts and in full assurance of faith. We have confidence. Now, supposing you came into my house, you wouldn't go into the kitchen, open the fridge, and take out a yogurt or something that you wanted. You wouldn't have the confidence to do that. If you wanted something, you would ask for it. Pastor Clive could come into my house and do that. He might say, Dad, do you mind if I have a yogurt? I don't know if he eats yogurts, but... but you see, he has the confidence of a son. He knows he belongs. He belongs to the house. So he has the confidence of a son. Right? Now that's how God wants you to approach him. You've got the confidence of a son. You don't come tiptoeing into his presence saying, you know, I wonder if the Lord has got anything for me today. You've got the confidence of a son to take that which is available. You ask, like Clive would ask, Dad, do you mind if I have a yogurt? Actually, they're very good for you, but no, no. He's still being refined and perfected. But you see, it's having the confidence. And what the scripture says is come before him with confidence. And you see, that confidence is that God will give to you. That there's nothing he wants to withhold from you because he has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Amen. So last week, God was talking to us about faith, speaking with faith. This week, he's still in the faith mode. He's saying, okay, approach me with faith. Pray with faith. Have confidence when you come in here to worship that you can come right into the Holy of Holies, that you can meet with the Holy One of God, that you can stand before the throne where there's grace and mercy to help you in your time of need. You know, a little child, young boy, say, or girl, could come up to his father one day and say, Dad, I don't suppose you'd buy me a bicycle today, would you? And the father would say, no, I won't. If he's going to get a bicycle, that's going to be a special treat for some occasion. But it's not the sort of thing you do for your kids every day. But you see, even the way he asked the question was not with faith. I don't suppose you'd give me a bicycle today, would you? He doesn't really expect to get a bicycle today. But you see, that's the way so many Christians pray. Lord, I don't suppose you'd heal me today, would you? I know you can, and perhaps one day you will, but I don't suppose you'd heal me today, would you? Now, they wouldn't use those words, but that's the attitude. Are we there? And you see, that's not coming before the Lord with confidence. That's not laying hold of things with faith. And we're to come with that boldness of faith. Faith is bold. And actually, God does not mind how much of your inheritance you lay hold of. Just think of the parable of the prodigal son. I mean, the prodigal son, he wasted his inheritance, yet when he asked for it, the father gave it to him. Give me my share of the inheritance. And this is a parable about a father and two sons. The older son never even asked for a goat to have a feast with his friends. You haven't even given me a goat. The silly Nana never realized that if he'd asked for a goat, the father would have given him a goat. But he didn't have the confidence to even ask for a goat. The other boy had the confidence to ask for the whole of his inheritance. So God wants us to have the confidence of the younger son, but not to waste the inheritance that he gives us, but to use that inheritance to praise the Lord, to live for the glory of God, to fulfill the plan and purpose that he has for us. Is everybody breathing this morning? Hallelujah. So we're going to come before him with confidence. Amen. You come before him with the boldness of faith. All that you need to know is that you belong to him. And the scripture says you are not your own, you are bought with a price. He purchased you. He adopted you. We are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So even you ladies, your sons that have the first right of inheritance. Because the sons always had the first right of inheritance in Scripture. So you are a son, regardless of your gender, because you have the first right of inheritance. Hallelujah. So God wants you to come before him with confidence. So it's not just what you say, but the confidence with which you say it. In other words, the expectation you have of what God will do, of what he will give you in response to your confidence. So when you pray with faith, you pray with expectation. You pray with the expectation that you will receive, that God will serve, Jesus will serve you in the power of an eternal, indestructible life, that the Spirit will take from that rich inheritance and he will deliver it to you. Now, actually, for that to happen, you do not need anybody to lay hands on you or anoint you or anything. The prayer of faith will enable you to receive from God what you want. I had a very powerful time in Glasgow this Sunday. I preached a message similar to this in the morning, and sort of faith rose. And in the evening, we had a time of impartation, of healing and of other things. And the service started at 6:30 and didn't finish till 20 to 10 because God was doing so much in the lives of people. I think just about everybody there got an impartation. We did actually use the laying on of hands. I spoke about the purpose of laying on hands to impart. To, if you like, the one who lays hands on doesn't have any gift in his hands. He is like the messenger boy that the Holy Spirit is using to take out of that reservoir of all those blessings that Jesus has accomplished. Now he's sitting down, and so he uses you and me and others. He says, right, deliver the goods, deliver what I have done, just serve my people in that power of the indestructible life, just be my hands in that situation. So that's why the scripture says believers will lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover. Not they'll stay sick, but they will recover. Why? Because you're the messenger. You're taking that. It's not that you have got to screw up your faith and say, oh God, give me faith now for this miracle to happen in this person's life. You're just the delivery boy. You're just the messenger. I can see how excited you are about it. But that's what you should expect, you see. You're connected to heaven, even if that person, if you're praying for an unsaved person, they're going to get healed. They're not connected to heaven, but you are. And God wants to demonstrate that heaven is real, that God is real, that his life, his love, his power can touch their lives to demonstrate the reality of his kingdom. So, when we come in here, every morning it's with confidence that we're going to come right before the throne of God. We're going to meet with him. We're going to draw down from him. He's going to serve us in the power of an eternal, indestructible life. The Holy Spirit is going to deliver stuff to us directly. Sometimes we may have the laying on of hands, in which case God will use somebody else as a messenger or somebody else, to anoint us or whatever. But that isn't necessary. Sometimes it's a help because those things are a point of contact. But God wants us to become a people of faith that don't actually need those kinds of contact, because our prayer, our faith, is the point of contact. It will happen to you according to your faith, Jesus says. You will receive whatever you believe, whatever you ask, if you believe. See, so hallelujah. I'm happy. Anybody else happy?
Yes.
I'm full of expectation. Anybody else full of expectation? God is good. Good, 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 good. Amen.
Yes.
Why shouldn't miracles happen every day? Why shouldn't these meetings every morning be filled with the supernatural activity of God? We don't need a long message like this every day. We just need one every so often, you see. Get us geared up with faith right. Boy, are we going to have a powerful week now. That's our attitude. Every morning I'm going to come in here, whoa, with the boldness of faith. I'm going to come right before the throne of God. Can you see that this has got nothing to do with your feeling? You might come in here in the morning feeling great. You might come in here feeling like death warmed up. Because sometimes some of you look like that. But it doesn't matter how you feel, because none of this is dependent upon how you feel. It's all dependent upon what Jesus has done. And it all depends on putting your faith in what he has done. So if you put your faith in what he's done, it doesn't matter how you feel. You might be having a good day, you might be having a rotten day, things might be going well, things might be really difficult. It doesn't matter, because that doesn't affect the issues. The issues are Jesus has done it and you believe in what he's done. And that's what changes everything. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's stand. Get out of our chairs and get in the middle here. Get our focus on the Lord. Come on, just begin to pour out your heart. Thanksgiving. Remember, you come through the gate of thanksgiving into the courts of praise. Start to thank him for all that he's accomplished for you. That he is a priest forever. You might never really have noticed that phrase before. You might never have realized the significance of it, that everything in your life depends upon that oath, that promise. That statement that God made, you are a priest forever. So that sacrifice is forever. That sacrifice is for today. It never needs to be repeated. It's already accomplished everything for you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. So thank him that through that sacrifice, you have been saved completely. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Save totally, save completely, save from everything that is negative. Saved for you, for your plan, for your purposes, for your glory, for faithfulness to you. Thank you, Lord. You have delivered me from sin, from the power of sin. You've delivered me from the powers of darkness. You've taken me out of the dominion of darkness and put me in the kingdom of the Son you love. Praise you, Lord. That I live now for your glory, now for your honor, now for your praise, because you have saved me completely. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you always live to intercede for me. Thank you that your blood intercedes for me. Thank you that you sprinkled my heart from a guilty conscience, because your blood has forgiven all my sins. You have set me free from all guilt. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You have done everything for my healing, for my wholeness of spirit, soul, and body. Thank you that everything is accomplished. Everything is done. Everything is in that power of that blood. Thank you that that blood speaks for me every day. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have sat down at the majesty, the right hand of the majesty on high. Thank you, you have accomplished everything. Thank you, it is done. Thank you that there's nothing left for you to do. Thank you, Lord, that you have given me that rich inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you that you now serve from the sanctuary in the power of an eternal, indestructible life. Thank you, Lord, that whatever you serve overcomes the corrupt, overcomes what is destructible, overcomes what is natural with your supernatural life and your supernatural power. And I give you all the glory, all the honor and the praise. I bless you, Jesus. I praise your wonderful name. I give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Pura la basata baria letu bakarasitu ba. Pala la basuturi sataria letu bakarasitari sanduma. Hallelujah. Come on, come right now with boldness and confidence as a child of God, right before his throne, right into the Holy of Holies. Gaze upon him on the throne. Gaze upon him and begin to worship him. Pour out your heart to him. You are so great. You are so mighty. You are so wonderful. Praise your holy name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, just thank him. You are his child. You are his son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He gives you the whole of your inheritance. He withholds nothing from you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Pura la basitaria letu bakarasatu balanduma. Balataparia letu bakarasitari sanduma. Bazarabaria letu bakarasitari sandu bakatoria letuba. Bazandabaria letu bakarasitari sandu bakarasinuma. Merciful Lord, blessed Lord, blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Wonderful, wonderful King. Puratapari letu bakalasita di sanduma. Puparpara zadabari letu bakalasita di sanduma. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've sprinkled each one of us in this room with your blood. Thank you that you've set us apart as a holy people. Thank you, Lord, that we're consecrated to you, that we belong to you, to worship you, to serve you. And thank you, Lord, that as we pour out our hearts to you, so you pour out your life upon us. And we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. We thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Confidence, confidence, confidence. Thank you, Lord, we can have that boldness of faith. Thank you for the confidence that we have before you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Pura la basatapari alero bakarasita di sanduma. Balatapari alero bakarasita di santari alero bakarasita di sanduma. Balatapari alero bakarasita di santo bakarasuta di sanduma. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Pula la basatapari alero bakarasita di sanduma. Balatapari aleto bakalasitari santo bakatori aleto bakalasinama. Balatapari aleto bakalasitari santo bakatori aleto bakalasitaba. Basatapari aleto bakalasitari santo. Borotapari aleto bakalasitari santo bakatandoma. O ratapari aleto bakalasitaba landoma. O ratapari aleto bakalasitari sato bakalasandoma. Oh, papara sarabari, letu bakalasita di sanduma. Oh, papari, letu bakalasita di santo. Oh, papari, letu bakalasita di sanduma. Oh, papari, letu bakalasita di sato bakalasandu. Oh, papari, aleno masunto di sanduma. Oh, ratapari, letu bakalasita di sanduma. Oh, papari, letu bakalasita di sanduma. Oh, papari, letu bakalasita. Oh, mamari eleno masata palindoba. Oh, ratapari eletto bakalasita di santo. Oh, pasarapari eletto bakalasita di sato bakalasandoma. Oh, mamari eleno masata pari eletto bakalasita. Boldness, Lord, thank you for that spirit of boldness. Popara sarapari eletto bakalasita di sandoma. Papara sarapari eletto bakalasita di sandoma. Oh, papari, letto bakalasita di sanduma. O papare eletto bacala sito di sanduma. O papare eletto bacala sito di santo. O papare eletto bacala sito di sato bacala sinama. O papare eletto bacala sito di santo. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Pura la basatabari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. O papare eletto bacala sito di sato bacala sito di sanduma. O papare eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord. Pure alato bacala sito di sanduma. O ratapare eletto bacala sito di santo. O papare eleno masatare eletto bacala sito di sanduma. O wonderful Lord. Pare eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Pura la basatabari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. O papare al satabari eletto bacala sito ba. Papara satabari eletto bacala sito di sandari eletto bacala sinuma. O randari eletto bacala sito di santo bacatari elenuma. O papari eletto bacala sito di santo. O passatabari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. 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 Pura la tabari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Papara sarabari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Bopara sarabari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Bopara sarabari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Ora tapari eletto bacala sito di santo. Ombara sarabari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. O ratapari alero bacala sito di sando. O papari alero bacala sito di sandari alero bacala sito di sanduma. O papari alero bacala sito di santo bacatanduma. O papari alero bacala sito di sando. O papari alero bacala sito di sanduma. O ratapari alero bacala sanduma. O randari alero bacala sito di santo. O passatapari eletto bacala sito di sando. O papari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. O papari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Yes, sacaratari eletto bacala sinuma. Oh, Jesus. Papari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Thank you, Jesus. Papari eletto bacala sito balando. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Ora la basatabari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Oh, papari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Oh, papari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Oh, papari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Yes. Yes. Papari eletto bacala sito di sandu. Oh, papari eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Saraba sotto di sarai eletto bacala sanduma. Thank you, 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 thank you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Pura la basa tapare eletto bacala sito ba. Pura tapare eletto bacala sito di sanduma. O papare eletto bacala sito di sanduma. Wonderful, 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 Lord. Pura la basa tapare eletto bacala sito ba. Pura la ba, ratapare. Or. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your abundant grace. Thank you that we stand in your grace today. Thank you that you never come to the end of your grace, that you are able to make all grace abound to us, so that in all things, at all times, having all that we need, we will abound in every good work. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. In all things, at all times, having all that we need. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. It is finished. It is done. It is accomplished. We give you all the glory. Thank you that we live today in the good of all that you have done. Oh, we praise your wonderful name. Thank you that we only have to ask and you will give that which is our inheritance to us. We praise you for that wonderful grace. We praise you for that mercy that does not treat us as we deserve, but treats us as Jesus deserves. And we give you all the honor, all the praise. Praise your wonderful name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that spirit of excitement, Lord, for that spirit of spiritual excitement gripping our hearts, gripping our souls today. Thank you, Lord. You are such an exciting God. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's so exciting to know you. So exciting to be able to pray and know that you hear us. And if we know that you hear us, we know that we receive from you whatever we ask. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 You see, when you pray like that, you don't need songs. No songs can express that. No songs can express that kind of faith. Songs have their purpose, you know. But once you really get before the throne, you don't need songs. Because you're just taken up with him, with who he is, what he has done, what he's accomplished. In that wonderful mercy and grace that he extends to you every day. Just before we close, can you thank God that you have a clear conscience? That he's sprinkled your heart so that now you have a clear conscience. Hallelujah. You have been cleansed from a guilty conscience. And even your body is washed with pure water. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he can't do anything through your life without your body. He needs your body. Your mouth is part of your body. He needs your mouth to speak. Hallelujah. He needs your hands to serve. He needs your feet to go. He needs every part of you. Hallelujah. He needs your ears to listen to what he's saying, your eyes to look and see what he is doing and to see the needs that he wants you to address. Hallelujah. He needs your body. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are so good. And we thank you we're going to have such a rich week. As we come in here day by day, we're going to meet with you. We're going to just be taken into new heights with you. We're going to come right into the Holy of Holies, right before your holy throne. We're going to behold you face to face, Lord, even though we won't be able to see
details of your expression, yet we'll know that we're right before that glory. And thank you, Lord, that that glory will be reflected in our lives. That as we meet with you in glory, so we will know your glory working in us and through us, touching the lives of other people with your glory. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you that you made that solemn oath. You are a priest forever. And thank you that we have such a high priest. Over the house of God. And we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind in the knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.